morning, Bethany. It is so good to see you all. I don't know about you, but when I woke up this morning and walked outside, what beautiful weather. Just what a gift, what a blessing. I am so glad that you're here to worship with us this morning. As we get started, I have just a couple of announcements to lift before you. The first is regarding this service. Masks are optional during the entire service except during the singing. We ask everybody to put on a mask during singing. If you don't have one, please let one of the ushers know and they would be happy to give you one. On September the 12th, which is coming up soon, we're going to be shifting the service times to 9:30 from 10 to 9:30 and then the regular at 11. We're doing that because the transition time between the services is really tight. And so we need a little bit more breathing room between the services. So starting September the 12th, we will be at 9:30 in the morning for our contemporary service, and then, of course, at 11. We are in September beginning a new budget, and this is going to be, during COVID, everything is interesting. Everything's a challenge. It's always a new way of doing things. And so we're going to be managing that. We appreciate your support, your help, and your prayers, because we'll be not only managing the expense side, but also the giving side. And so if you would continue to think about your support for Bethany and help us, we would deeply appreciate that. Also, we want to begin our service this morning with a prayer for our nation. This was a hard week in so many respects, and it continues to get harder. If you've watched the news this morning, the hurricane is about to hit Louisiana in what may be historically one of the largest hurricanes to ever hit that area. And so we're going to begin with a word of prayer, asking that God would, we usually think about this service and asking God to bless, but we're going to expand it to our larger world today because the needs are so great, and we need to ask God's help in other places in our world. So if you would join with me in a word of prayer, let's begin together. Father, as we walk through any particular week, the news is oftentimes challenging and hard. This week it was particularly hard to watch the challenging circumstances in Afghanistan, the lives that are being lost and uprooted, and the children and families, service members, there's a long list of things, God. And so we pray that you would step into that situation. We know that you can not only save lives, but bring peace and help and comfort and aid. And so we ask that as a nation that we would be able to do everything that we can to help, but also that you would step in, God, and be a source of strength and comfort and hope. There are many who are concerned and worried about family members who live there, service members who live there, as well as folks who are grieving over the loss of somebody that they love that was there. So we ask your help and your care in that moment. And even as we sit here, we know that there's a hurricane of historic proportion that's bearing down on Louisiana. And we're so grateful, God, that we have the opportunity to know those things ahead of time so that people can prepare, but that doesn't always help those who are in the path. So we pray, God, for them, and we pray in the aftermath that you would use us to help them. We are grateful, God, that we can turn to you when it feels like we have no other source of help or hope. And as we start our worship service today, we turn this time over to you, asking that you would allow us to understand what it is to be your people and to know that you are a God who can step in into any situation in any moment and be the King of our world. In Jesus' holy name we pray. Amen.
Will you stand with us as we begin worship this morning? We're going to worship our King, for he has done great things, and he will continue to do great things. Come, let us worship our King. Come, let us bow at his feet. He has done great things. See what our Savior has done. See how his love overcomes. He has done great things. He has done great things. Oh, hero of heaven, you conquered the grave. You free every captive and break every chain. Oh, God, you have done great things. We dance in your You've been faithful through every storm, and you'll be faithful forevermore. You have done great things, and I know you will do it again, for your promise is yes and amen. You have done great things. Oh God, you do great things. Oh, hero of heaven, you conquered the grave. You free every captive and break every chain. Oh God, you have done great things. We dance in your freedom, awake and alive. Oh Jesus, our Savior, your name lifted high. Oh God, you have done great things. Hallelujah, God above it all. Hallelujah, God unshakable. Hallelujah, you have done great things. Hallelujah, God above it all. Hallelujah, God unshakable. Hallelujah, you have done great things. You've done great things. Oh, hero of heaven, you conquered the grave. You free every captive and break every chain. Oh, God, you have done great things. You dance in your freedom, awake and alive. Oh, Jesus, our Savior, your name lifted high. Oh, God, you have done great things. Oh, God, you do great things. Oh, God, you do great things.
Thank you for being so kind to us that you sent Jesus to be our Savior. Please help us show kindness to everyone, and especially to the friends and family who are closest to us. Give us patience and help us choose to be kind with the words and our actions. We love you, and we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
You may be seated.
Try to keep you safely in between the lines. I try to put you in the box that I've designed. I try to pull you down so we are eye to eye. When did I forget that you always been the king of the world? Try to take life back right out of the hands of the king of the world. How could I make you so small when you're the one who holds it all? When did I forget that you've always been the king of the world? Just a whisper of your voice can tame the sea. take life back right out of the hands of the King of the world. How could I make you so small? But you're the one who holds it all. When did I forget that you've always been the King of the world?
Thank you. There are times when I love to just sit back and listen to them sing. I get caught up in it. We're starting a new sermon series today, and to set it up, I want to lay a couple scenarios in front of you, and I want to ask if this has ever happened to you. Have you ever looked caringly directly into the eyes of a friend and said, "What were you thinking?" Have you ever looked at a colleague, a neighbor, your spouse, or one of your children and said, "Seriously, what were you thinking?" Have you ever looked at your boss, a politician, or the person who designed the system at the Department of Motor Vehicles and thought to yourself, "What were you thinking? Why do we do such crazy stuff in life?" And one reason, it's not the only one, but one of the reasons we do is that we as human beings are innately born with the ability to ask this question: what if? What if? And so I'm certain that every single one of you have seen, like me, pictures of four-year-olds who ask the following questions: what if I gave myself a haircut? To which, if it's a video, you see mother walking in going, "What were you thinking?" Or a four-year-old asking the question, "What if I used permanent markers to make amazing art in the hallway?" Or, "What if I rode my bike down this giant hill?" And it doesn't really end at four, does it? That's just where it begins. I mean, just asking the question, where have you thought the question, "What if," brings up memories of misused money, overestimating our abilities, misspelled tattoos, and bad relationships. I'm guessing that at least once a day, as you're on the road driving somewhere, you looked at someone around you and said, "What were you thinking?" Because this is how we live and how we operate. It is so powerful. The question, "What if," is in fact one of the more powerful questions in our lives. And it leads to dreams and hopes and beautiful things that we've never even seen before. "What if" is what gave us cell phones and iPads. It's what gave us cars and planes. It's also what gave us some of the most horrific things on this earth, isn't it? What if? And so it should not be overly shocking when we read from Isaiah chapter 55 these words at the end of a passage we're going to look at today. And this is God speaking through Isaiah, talking about God's self. In Isaiah chapter 55, verse 8, here's what God says. Do we have that? "My thoughts," look at this, "are," what does it say? "Nothing like your thoughts, says the Lord. And my ways are far beyond anything you can imagine. For just as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than yours, and my thoughts higher than yours." And what God is saying is, and this is probably not a shocking thought, God thinks differently than we do. And it makes me wonder if God has ever looked at you and I and said to us, "What were you thinking? What were you thinking?" In a minute, we're going to look at the entire context of this passage. But we're going to just start out with this basic idea. God tells us that his thoughts and his ways are different than ours. In fact, Jesus indicated that so much of his mission was to help share the way God thinks and the way that God acts so that we could have a clearer sense of that. And so we're starting the series, What If? And today we're going to ponder how we think and how we operate. And in the following weeks, we're going to ponder the questions that Jesus asked us to think differently about. Jesus introduces what ifs to our lives and says, what if you consider this? What if you think about this? What if you do this? And I want to start by lifting three specific thoughts up to you as we before we read the scripture. And here's the first one, and it's so basic and so simple, but it needs to be said out loud. You and I are used to, accustomed to the way that we think. We have a way of thinking, and we're accustomed to it. And many of us have been living long enough that we have also come to the second conclusion, and that is, we think we're right. We've lived long enough to see that when we were younger, we were not right, but now, however old we are, we've come to believe that our thinking is pretty right on. Whether you're 16 or 66 or 90, we tend to think like this. And the last piece that I want to lift before you is this very interesting piece that we have to live with every single day. And that is, with all that knowledge in front of us, 50% of our nation, approximately, in broad strokes, thinks that we should go in one direction, and 50% of our nation thinks that we should go in a different direction. And both sides think that God is on their side. And that's just one example of the challenge in front of us. And I want to pause and ask the question, is there a chance that we really don't think with 2020 clarity the way that God does? And what does that mean for us? So let's go back to this passage in Isaiah chapter 55, beginning in verse 1. And we're going to read it through, and then we're going to talk about what it says to us today. Isaiah chapter 55, beginning in verse 1. Isaiah writes these words. We're going to start in verse 1. Is anyone thirsty? Here's what he's saying here. Is anybody tired? Is anybody in need? Does anybody have a longing within them? Come and drink, even if you have no money. Come. Take your choice of milk or wine. It's all free. And then the Lord says, why spend your money on food that doesn't give you drink? Why pay for food that does you no good? Listen to me and eat what is good. You will enjoy the finest foods. And here's what he's saying. I'm trying to tell you some things that are life-giving, that go beyond the kind of life the food gives. Because food will only last for so long, which is why you need to continue to eat it. But the truths he's going to tell us give us life and cause us to have it welling within us. And so he says, come to me. This is a key part of this passage, with your ears wide open. Listen to me and you will find life. I will make an everlasting covenant with you. In other words, I'm going to commit myself to you. I'm going to be on your side. I'm going to support you. I'm going to help you. I need you to listen to me, and I will give you all the unfailing love I promised to David. See how I used him to display my power among the peoples. I made him a leader among the nations. You also will command nations you do not know, and peoples unknown will come running to you, because I, the Lord your God, the Holy One, have made you glorious. In other words, I will support you. Now, verse 6 sets us up for where he wants us to go. Seek the Lord while you can find him. This is a very interesting verse, because one would suppose that you can always find God. Which is a curious thought, isn't it? Seek the Lord while you can find him. He's positing that there are moments where God is clearer and easier to find than other moments. Would you say that's true? Where you have windows of clarity in life. Jesus certainly indicated that to us. We have windows of clarity in life, moments, and we should act in those moments because the clarity will help us, and then the fog comes back. Seek the Lord while you can find him. Call on him while he is near. And then he says, it's going to require you to be willing to change some things. Let the wicked change their ways and banish the very thought of doing wrong. Let them turn to the Lord that he may have mercy on them. Just turn to our God, for he will forgive generously. And then the verses that we quoted earlier, for my thoughts are nothing like your thoughts, and my ways are far beyond anything you could imagine. For just as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts higher than your thoughts. So, God is telling us some important things in this passage. He's saying, first of all, that he wants to help us. He wants to be our source of life and hope and strength and power, which is an amazing gift that God wants to help us. Because there are times when, as a parent, you look at a child who continues to do stuff that's not smart, and you finally say to yourself, I'm no longer going to be able to stop you. I'll help you when you hurt yourself, but you're on your own. And God says, I will do everything I can to help you, but I need you to listen to me. I may need you to change some things, and I need you to understand that I am really here to help you and to care for you and to love you. And I'm not here to simply say, you're wrong, you're wrong, you're wrong, you're wrong, you're wrong. You don't get it, you don't get it. What's wrong with you? I'm here to say, can I help you? And that's why for us the what if game is so powerful within us, because the what if thing that we do can take us to places we've never been before, good or bad. In addition to that, the what if game can also cause us enormous anxiety and worry. I was with a friend just the other day, and a siren went off in a distance. And they paused for a second, and I said, what? And they said, well, my child's out driving right now, and whenever my child's out driving and I hear a siren, I immediately go, what if that's my kid? Which is pretty natural, isn't it? We can take that and do that in all of life, can't we? What if this thing goes wrong? What if it goes sideways? We can lead ourselves into a giant pit of worry by playing the what-if game. But Jesus offered his thoughts to try and move us to a different line. He said, what if you followed me? What if you trusted me? What if you tried my ways instead of your own? And that is what's so powerful about what God is lifting up to us in this passage. And I want to pause and ask you, maybe some things you haven't thought about before. What kind of dreams do you think Jesus had? When Jesus lay down and looked up at the clouds and dreamed about what could be, what do you think he dreamed? Do you think he dreamed about a vacation home? A cushy retirement? What did Jesus dream about? It's, in fact, a powerful exercise, and one time I challenged the staff to think it through, to literally find places in Scripture where Jesus dreamed about things, and what was it that he thought about and dreamed about and hoped for and desired. There are places in Scripture like that to give us a sense of God's heart, what Jesus longed to see, what he wanted for us and for himself and for the people of this world. And here's a second powerful question. What kinds of things did Jesus worry about? Now, it's interesting because when I say the word worry, you might immediately say, well, Jesus didn't worry about anything. And you might very well be right. But there were many things that Jesus showed concern about. There were things that Jesus definitely brought to the Father specifically in prayer and said, God, I see this as an up-and-coming problem. Would you please deal with this? So it revealed to us the heart of Jesus and what was on his mind and what was burdening him. What is it that was on Jesus' heart like that? And all of that makes me pause and say, how do my what ifs compare to Jesus' what ifs? Because sometimes my what ifs lead to beautiful things, beautiful things. I was sitting in a different office in a different place many years ago when a colleague came to me and said, I've been dreaming. And I said, tell me what you've been dreaming about. And they said, I've been dreaming about an after-school program that will touch so many kids in this community, that will help them with their homework, that will help them to learn to do skills that they've never done before, that would develop their relational skills, that would enable older adults and teens to coach and mentor younger people. I have this amazing dream. And inside me, I said, that will never work because there are other people that have tried that and it hasn't worked. But I took a deep breath and I said to myself, but it sounds like the kind of dream that Jesus would have. So I said, let's try it. It wasn't my dream. It was their dream. And the what if inside of them, as they dreamed with God, became an amazing thing. It was stunning how many lives were touched because of that moment. And I thought to myself, as a person who was in a position of authority, as I came with that person to the fork in the road, as they asked that question, and they said, can I please do this? That I had in that moment the authority to say yes and no. It's an amazing responsibility, and one that sometimes scares me. And I was thrilled that their what if led to such beautiful things. I have so many stories in my own life and in other lives of people who tried what if in a completely different way that was not good or powerful or helpful. It was destructive. And there were times as a pastor that someone came up to me and said, I'd like to do this, I'd like to try this. And everything inside of me said, please don't do that. Your parents have told you don't do that. Your friends have told you don't do that. Please don't do this. And you and I, many of us, have lived long enough to know that there are some lessons we only learn by living them in life, aren't there? And sometimes they're the most powerful and the best lessons. And so I want to pause and ask a couple of questions for us to think about as we move into this sermon series. How many of our what if questions are just about us? How many of our dreams or our hopes or our worries or our concerns are just about us? Because I find that God pushes my what ifs to a different place that's bigger and includes other people. And that's one of the signs that God is at work in this thing inside of me. I think that God has a burden right now for places all over our world, some of which we know and some of which we don't know. Many of us carry a burden today about Afghanistan because we've heard so much about it in the news. But you and I both know, all of us know, that there are people all over the world who are going through all kinds of challenging circumstances, people who are in prison for unjust reasons, children who are being captured and taken into armies to be soldiers at the age of 6 and 7. There's long lists of things that if we were able to see as God sees and feel as God feels, would be too overwhelming for us just to get through daily life. But God invites us to make our what if a little bit bigger so that we can share in prayer and concern in response to some of the things happening in our world. And to dream about good things that can happen. So how many of our what ifs are questions only about us and where we're going and what we're doing or our worries or our concerns? Here's my second question. How many times have we what ifed ourselves into anxiety that really didn't have to be there? Because I am guilty of that. As a leader, one of my jobs is to try and look on the horizon and see problems and address them before they become significant. And I can take that skill and I can what if myself into all kinds of situations and problems that never really materialize. I'm a little OCD on that front. Is anybody with me on this? Thank you for the one hand. And I think it's important to pause and watch how we use that skill because it can take us to places we don't want to be. And here's the third thing. I want to ask how open you are to being willing to change the very way you think. I had an important moment in my life. I had no idea it would be this important. It was, I can tell you almost exactly, it was 17 years ago. 16 years ago, here's what happened. I was living in Berkeley Springs at the time, and I still am pretty crazy driven in life. And it had snowed, and I lived about 12 miles outside of town on roads that they rarely plowed, and I was driving a Honda Civic at the time. And I decided I had to go into work. Now, no one called me and told me I needed to be into work, and I doubt anybody else was into work that day, but I decided I need to be into work. So I drove to work on roads that were a little bit dicey, but not bad, and it snowed all day long. And I sat in my office as it snowed all day long. And then at 4:30, I got in my car and I drove home. I was about a mile from my house. I had to climb this really steep hill in my Honda Civic. They're made for great handling in the snow, you know. I came around the current corner after I climbed that hill. I was not going overly fast. If you'd asked me if speed was the problem, it wasn't. It was that as I came around that corner, there happened to be a place where there was just a little bit of ice on the road underneath the snow. And when I hit that, I slid off the road and into the woods. Pretty deeply into the woods, actually. I was about 10 or 12 feet into the woods. I hit a tree, but not hard because I really wasn't going fast. I barely damaged the car at all. As I got out of the car, I realized a couple things immediately. My first thought was that I had a wife that was sitting at home with two newly adopted children, and she was pregnant with a third. And I drove to work, and I didn't need to. That what was in front of me was not a big deal. I had to call a tow truck. They had to pull it out of the woods. I walked home first to tell her that I'd done something stupid after I drove to work. And then I said to her, I will not do this kind of thing again. Now, I'm not going to say that I've 100% kept that. But I have seriously changed my thinking. I had to look at myself and say, you can't think like this anymore. You have a wife and three kids. You can't just ask the question, what if I could make it into work? That's not a smart question anymore. I had to be open to allowing a different way of thinking. And just because I could get there safely and get back safely doesn't mean it was the smart thing to do or the wise thing to do or what Jesus would counsel me to do. So as we close in prayer, I'm going to invite the praise band back up. In the coming weeks, we're going to ask some questions around this. And I'm going to challenge you and me to think differently, to respond differently, the way that Jesus would call us to. Father, we are so grateful for your presence and your power, for your willingness to be patient with us as we grow up and learn. Help us transform our thinking to be more like yours. Enable us, God, to understand that we are in a wider world with wider issues than just ours. That your dreams are bigger than just for our lives. And that you care not just about us, but all of your children. Help us to grow and to change in ways that you would call us to. In Jesus' holy name we pray. Amen.
Will you stand as we close some song today?
Thank you. And now as we go, may the Lord watch over us and guide us. May he open our eyes. May we seek him while we can still find him. And may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that carries us every minute of every day, lead us and guide us this week, that we may hear God's voice and follow his ways. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Nice job, guys. Landed the plane.